Welcome to the Week 16 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman, Eagles beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and we are here in the week between the Eagles' surprising 48-30 loss to the Minnesota Vikings, a big development for the Eagles. But looking ahead to Sunday night football against the Chicago Bears and a potential clincher for the Eagles, if they can beat the Bears and the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Washington Redskins earlier in the day. Otherwise, it sets up the stage for a quasi-NFC East championship. Eagles-Cowboys next week in Arlington, Texas. That's among the topics discussed here on the Bird's Eye View podcast, whereas I do each week, I had Jeff McClain, my fellow Inquirer beat writer, on. We discussed LeSean McCoy. We discussed the Eagles' pass defense. We discussed Chip Kelly. You name it. You'll also hear from Chip Kelly himself, and you'll hear from LeSean McCoy, who wants to carry the Eagles' offense on his back. So it's a crowded show. Let's get right to it. Here's Jeff McClain. Joined as we are each week with my fellow Inquirer Eagles beat writer, Jeff McClain. And Jeff, we were there in Minnesota watching an Eagles pass defense that has struggled throughout most of the year, but it has not given up as many big plays, as many points as they gave against the Vikings. Really struggle throughout the day. This coming week against the Bears is the most difficult receiver combination that the Eagles have seen. How concerned should the Eagles be about their secondary at this point? And was last week an aberration, or was it really an indication of what they are?
It probably was an aberration in terms of, I don't think they could play that bad again, but I think that's probably a truer indication of the secondary and the talent that's back there than maybe what we saw over the previous 9 weeks. I know that's a kind of a large sample size, but it wasn't like they were great. I thought the defensive line in a lot of ways carried them, and they got solid play at the linebackers. And the Vikings, give them credit and give Matt Castle credit and give the receivers credit. They came with a great game plan. They executed it well. And they showed a bunch of things that the Eagles probably weren't exactly prepared for. And when they started to adjust, it was really too late. So it was a combination of things. And I'm not sure if Mark Trestman, coach of the Bears, is a, an offensive, I wouldn't say genius, but an innovator. And I think that he'll have a good game plan. But I just don't know if it'll be that rough, even though, as you mentioned, the receivers, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery, are better than Greg Jennings and Patterson. And they're home, and there's probably a couple other things that I think could go the Eagles' way. But, it could get ugly because we don't know what's going to happen in terms of who's going to be ready. They have some injuries. It sounds like Earl Wolf will be back, but everyone keeps talking like he's some sort of savior, and in reality, he's a rookie that's only played a few games, started a few games, and was still having his hiccups. Don't know about Brandon Boykin. I think he said on Wednesday that he expects to be back on Sunday, but that's him saying it. Let's see what the doctors say. So it could get ugly, Zach. It's hard for me to not think that they won't give up a lot of yards, but that may still not be enough because there's another side of the ball.
And now the thing that I'm conflicted with is that they need their base defense on the field to generate the most pressure. We've seen that this year. But Brandon Boykin is probably the cornerback who's been most consistent, has played the best throughout the year, and the only way he's getting on the field is in nickel situations. In these past four games, we're not seeing Boykin on the field that much. What's the best course of action here for the Eagles? Because you want Boykin for coverage purposes, but you want the base for pass rush purposes.
Right. As we mentioned, that's assuming Boykin can play. Yep. He's got to come back from the concussion. If he doesn't play, then it's a whole other story. We don't know if he's going to play the slot position. It could be Patrick Chung. It could be Rod Carmichael. Not two very good options if Boykin can't go. But if he can go, you want to get him on the field because, let's say, the Marshall or Jeffery kind of run out of the slot, then it gives you, I think, someone who's better in covering even though he may not have a size that Kyrie Williams and Bradley Fletcher have, I still think he's a better cover guy, and he can run with those receivers. And it just helps out your secondary as well, too. But as you mentioned, they just haven't been getting them on, you know, not because they haven't tried to, it's because of the matchup personnel and, yep. and teams have been trying to get them in their base. I think we saw that on Sunday against the Vikings when they had three wideouts and Greg Jennings ran out of slot and you had Patrick Chung on him and he totally toasted Chung and he got a 57-yard touchdown out of it. And Bill Davis was saying how he wanted to have his base defense in there because he wanted to get some pressure. And he almost got pressure. I think Fletcher Cox almost got Matt Castle, but he did and they got a touchdown out of it. But as you mentioned, it's kind of a give and take here. If you're going to go with your base, you're taking Brandon Boykin off the field and you're getting stuck maybe with Patrick Chung at the slot.
Yep.
This is assuming he's healthy. And if you go with your nickel there, you may not get the pass rush that you want.
So then let's go on the other side of the ball, LeSean McCoy, because it's fascinating to watch. 1 week after he sets the franchise record for rushing yards, gets only 8 carries in a game. I didn't mind the strategy. The Vikings were down their top 3 cornerbacks. The Eagles had no problem passing the ball. Nick Foles could have had a better game, and he still had 400-plus yards passing. But LeSean McCoy is the NFL's leading rusher. He's probably the Eagles' most dangerous threat. He'll definitely get the ball this week. He said Wednesday he wants to carry the offense on his back, facing the number 32 rush defense in the NFL. How do you explain what happened against the Vikings, and what do you see in terms of McCoy's workload this weekend?
As far as the Vikings game, I agree with you. I thought, you know, the game plan was fine going in. I just thought that he needed to adjust, one, to the fact that it looked like the defense right off the bat wasn't going to be able to stop this offense. And he needed to get some sort of ball control offense. You know, I'm not saying that McCoy had to run every other down or even more than that, but he needed to drain the clock and control the clock a little bit to keep their offense off the field. And there were too many three and outs, and I think that just really hurt them because the defense just wasn't up to stopping that offense on a lot of drives in both halves. In terms of this Sunday, I think you're going to have to sell out of McCoy, not just because of what happened in Minnesota, but because, as you mentioned, the Bears have the 32-ranked rush defense. They've had problems against option runs in the Redskins. I mean, I asked Shiv about that today, and he kind of dismissed the notion. But I don't think it has anything specifically to do about, you know, option runs. If the Eagles want to do their zone read, inside zone read a lot against the Bears, just that they don't have a lot of strength up front. It sounds like Briggs is going to be able to play. That should help them a little bit. But I do imagine that we'll see a lot more of McCoy than we did this past Sunday.
And so then let's look at the guy playing with McCoy back there, and that's Nick Foles. When I look at Foles, it says a lot about him, frankly, that you can throw for 400-plus yards, and it's viewed as an inconsistent game. But that's probably what it was, and it shows his growing stature in the league. But what does he need to do better this week? And when you look at his progress to this point, do you still think he needs to show something here in these final two games to keep that momentum going?
Yeah, he wasn't terrible against the Vikings. There were just some moments that you would have wished he made better decisions. He held on to the ball a few times too long when he took sacks, I thought. And the coaches said that they needed to throw the ball away in the circumstances. The pass that was to Deshaun when he was wide open, which kind of floated on him, was intercepted, was not as much a bad throw as it was a bad decision. He just waited too long. He waited a beat too long, and then he threw it. And at that point, the cornerback had broken off Riley Cooper, who he was covering, and saw the play and intercepted it. And that, he didn't see that, I don't think. And then there were a few other times when it wasn't as much decisions, it was bad decisions. It was, I don't know, mechanics, but the ball floated on him and he overthrew guys, overshot a number of receivers. And that's just a mechanics thing, I think, and or being able to step out the pocket, I'm not really sure. I guess, you know, that's something I really can't evaluate. I'm sure the coaches have and Chip Kelly has. But, well, you know, he's got to bounce back a little bit here. I mean, he had the snow game against the Lions. Couldn't do much there. not because he wasn't playing well, just because the conditions didn't allow for it. And then you had the Vikings game. So, and this is going to be, you know, this is like probably the biggest game he's played since that Cowboys game in October, when he really kind of, you know, choked. I think it's fair to say. So it's going to be interesting to see, even if the Cowboys lose to the Redskins, excuse me, even if the Cowboys beat the Redskins and the game is meaningless, except for obviously seeding, it's still an important game for him to come back and play, and I want to see how he performs.
And final question for you here, and it won't be a prediction, because you can all check out Bird's Eye View on Friday, where Jeff and I will have our predictions. But I'm curious, they're 8-6 right now. I predicted them to be 7-9 this season. You had them at 6-10. They've already exceeded what we expected, and I think that's probably fair to say for most of the fan base as well. Has Chip Kelly done enough? Have the Eagles done enough? Or has the bar raised, and would ending the season on a low note, not making the playoffs, would that kind of ruin the honeymoon period that was already created?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to get ahead of ourselves a little bit here to answer that question, because I really want to see how the final two games play out. But I think based on the first 14 games, even if they were, say, 7-7 at this point, I would say the season was a success, because they did improve upon last season's record. And most important, and I think this is what people wanted to see most at Chip Kelly, they wanted to see his offense work at this level. They wanted to see it be dynamic. And for the most part, it has been dynamic. And, you know, he does have a lot of talented players on that side of the ball, but he's been able to do it with a quarterback that a lot of people didn't think he'd be able to do it with. He's done it with the injuries that he's had at that position. He's done it with a couple other pieces that maybe aren't what he ideally sees in that offense. So I think that's a positive, overall positive. And I think people, when it's all said and done, even if they do kind of win, even if they do lose these final three games, they'll look back upon it and say, you know what, this is a successful first season for Chip Kelly. He's building towards something here. I can take it. And if they do any better than that, then it's, you know, much better than I think many of us expected. I think there were some people who were picking the playoffs, but I think the majority of people thought 8-8 would have been very good. 7-9, they would have been okay with. 6-10, they'd probably been a little upset, which is what I was predicting. But I thought that they would be building towards something by the end of the season with that 6-10 record. And if they do lose these final three, I will understand if people are a little deflated, because 3 weeks earlier, they were 8-5, and it seemed like they kind of could have walked right into that playoff burst. So to lose it in that way, and we'll have to see how it plays out, would tell you something about Chip in terms of whether he could win in December. You have to question that heading into next year.
Well, as you watch how it plays out, you can read it all in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Inquirer.com and Philly.com. On Friday, you'll see Jeff McClain's Eagles Insights. On Sunday, you'll have our big Eagles stories. You'll have Jeff's Inside the Eagles. I'll write a feature on Chip Kelly. A lot to look forward to, and you can find it all in the Inquirer. That's Jeff McClain. Jeff, thanks as always.
All right, Zach. Sounds good.
After the Vikings game, Chip Kelly alluded to the fact that the Eagles were 3-5 and rallied to win five consecutive games. They need to start a similar rally here if they want to make the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs. The Eagles are 8-6. They're facing a critical two-game stretch here. This was Chip Kelly meeting with reporters on Wednesday with the Chicago Bears game approaching.
I know Logan played 50 of 75 snaps on Sunday, and Bill Davis said he thought it was his best game of the season. What has he been doing to earn more snaps, and has it to do some with his ability to pass rush?
He's just progressed as the season went along. Obviously, he's a rookie. You see him adapt a lot more to the scheme as the season's gone along, and just, you know, everything we do is, you know, and our players understand on a weekly basis how you practice, how you perform, how you train is what we're looking for during the week. And just because you played well 4 weeks ago doesn't affect what you're doing this week. I think the one thing with Benny that you love is that each week he seems to get a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable in what we're trying to do, and is getting a lot of production out of him. So that's why he wants to play.
In your time,
it's that because obviously you got this one guy who looks like it might be a while with, or
no? It's just we know we're going to be down. We're probably going to be down a guy, so we need to have another safety.
Do you know which guy you'll probably be down third or fourth?
What have you seen from Keelan over the year when you've had him practice spot?
Just solid, very steady every single day, really consistent in what he's done out there. You know, our guys, we practice at a really good tempo. Those guys that are on the practice squad, the Keelans, the Travis Longs, the Will Murphys, the Brandon Bears, those guys have been outstanding all season long. And obviously, you know, if you got to bring a guy up, we'd rather bring a guy up from our practice squad because he's been here and he understands their system. It's not trying to get a guy on a Tuesday and trying to explain what our calls are and where they are and what the fits are. We tell all of our practice players to prepare like you're going to play because when your opportunity comes, it can't be, oh, God, I didn't know this was going to happen, and I'm not prepared for it. So excited to see what he do. He's a big kid, physical kid, and see what we can do.
In your time traveling around, studying offenses, studying concepts, did you ever go to Canada or go to the CFL, look at what Mark Trestman did up there?
I've been to Canada, and I've seen things. Chip,
is it hard to tell after a game like last week, the mentality of your team when you're having the meetings, and if you can read anything by their approach coming off that game?
No, I think our guys are very consistent in their approach. They're the same way when we were 3-5. You know, that's why I knew we had a good group of guys that are very serious about what we're trying to get accomplished.
What's the process for Nick on Monday and Tuesdays in terms of reviewing the last game and correcting mistakes either on his own or with the coaching staff?
Monday's a day out for all of our guys, so, you know, we meet every Tuesday and go over the game. It's the first thing we do, and then we move on to our next opponent. So it's pretty consistent in terms of our approach.
Is that a team thing, or does he have like a one-on-one film?
No, everybody goes. We go from a team meeting to a group meeting to a position meeting. So.
Is it difficult this late in the season to work on like mechanics stuff at that position? I mean, I know you're kind of always working on, but just specifically look at those types of things for a quarterback who's
no.
Okay.
We work on fundamentals every day. So I think if you do take that approach, then so be it, then you're not going to be good at it. But our D-line hits the slide every day. Our quarterbacks work drops every day. We do handoffs every day. The first drill we do when we go out there is center quarterback exchange. I don't think you can ever say there's a point in time during the season that we can't go work on these things.
Right. I was just wondering about changing mechanics or, like, you know, in a throw or the way you – I mean, is that too much for a quarterback to handle this late in the season?
We're not changing anybody's mechanics. We just need to be more consistent. Nick can throw a football. Nick's very good at throwing a football. So, you know, we're not bringing in Kent Tekulve, who's a sidearm thrower, and trying to make him over-the-top thrower. I mean, if that's your question. But
in terms of
all of our guys, everybody needs to work on their fundamentals, and to work on your fundamentals, it's a consistent thing. And just because you did it well last week doesn't mean you're going to do it well again this week, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
What kind of things have you seen from the Bears offense, you know, looking at tape?
A lot of diversity. You know, they do a really good job in attacking you with personnel groupings and schemes. Sometimes it's six offensive linemen where – you know, one of the linemen is actually playing a wing in the backfield. You know, and the thing that jumps out is the talent at receiver. You know, you got two really, really big guys that got great range and can go get it, even when they're covered one-on-one, doesn't mean they're covered. And then they got maybe the most complete back when you look at Forte in terms of his pass pro pickup, his ability to be a receiver out of the backfield, and then his ability to run. And the one thing about him that you admire is that they didn't miss a beat when they went to the backup quarterback, and I think that's a kind of credit to the system that Mark's running with us.
How big of a challenge will the special teams be? Obviously, they had a pretty good return, Devin Hester, and also they got a good kicker.
Yeah.
You're coming off a couple of weeks where the special teams play hasn't been like it had.
It's a huge shift. You know, I think when you look at this game and everything's so close, is that there's not one factor you can overlook, and you know, the game may be determined on special teams. So, you know, that's a big point of emphasis for us. But it's always been a big time.
The Bears run defense had problems.
Is Hester the – I think you said a little bit about this earlier in the week, but is Hester the same type of threat that Cordell Patterson is? Or how would you –
He's a threat. They're different types of returners, but he's as big a threat as there is in the league. So, you know, Cordell's more of a physical return guy just because of his size and what he does. But, you know, Devin's a more of a speed guy, I would say. But I think he's just as big a threat in terms of being able to – every time he touches the ball, there's potential for him to be trying to throw a touchdown. So.
The Bears' run defense had problems against the Redskins' run option plays. I don't know if it's something they've seen a lot of, but do you think it was isolated, or is that something that they've struggled with over the course of the season?
I think they did a decent job against them. What the Redskins do from that aspect in their running game is entirely different than what we do. So we're not going to say, hey, let's put three tight ends in the backfield and run a pistol formation. That's just not what we do. So.
What about Kyle Long, the guy you coached? Came out of tackle-rich draft class. How has he done this year?
Well, he's actually a guard, so You know, he's been really good. You know, we only had him for 1 year. You know, he went to Florida State originally, played baseball, and then went to junior college. But as athletic as anybody, you know, he legitimately runs in the high 4.8s, 4.9s. He's a 300-plus-pound guy. He's got range. He's nasty. He's physical. He's really, you know, a fun guy to watch on film because he loves playing football. And I love coaching him. He's awesome, you know, and I just hope he doesn't play well this week.
You talked about the Bears' talent at receiver. How much is that a challenge for the secondary considering they're still banged up there?
It's a huge challenge, you know, and no one's going to give us a waiver because we're banged up. So, you know, it's part of what the school is all about. Is, you know, but we look at it as an opportunity for us to go out and get a chance to compete against them. And that's what we got. We got a bunch of competitive guys, competitive coaches that want to go challenge themselves. And there's no better group of receivers to challenge yourself than those two guys that they can put out there, Marshall and Jeffries.
So Earl Moore, guys? Earl seems pretty confident that he's going to be able to play on Sunday. Do you have that same confidence?
I have confidence that he'll practice well today, and we'll go from there. So.
Has he even progressed even more?
He's getting better. But again, it's the same thing. We've had guys get hurt on Friday, so there's no reason. Let's get ready for a really good Wednesday, and that's what we can control. So.
We were talking yesterday about needing to push his knee, but not push it too hard. He had never been in that kind of situation before, and he was trying to feel his way through it. Have you discussed that with him at all?
No, I'm not. I leave all injuries up to our trainers and doctors, and they tell him where he should be in terms of how hard he should work and what he shouldn't work. You know, for me to weigh in on what I think his knee feels like or what, you know, my thoughts on, you know, that type of injury and where it is. I'm smart enough to know what I don't know. And there's a lot that I don't know, so I'll defer to the guys that really do know.
Now, one of Chip Kelly's decisions that have been most questioned was the pass-run ratio, and particularly LeSean McCoy getting only 8 carries against the Vikings 1 week after setting a franchise record for rushing yards against the Lions. McCoy was going to get more this weekend against the Chicago Bears and their number 32 ranked rush defense, the worst rush defense in the NFL. McCoy wants to and expects to carry the Eagles offense on his back. This will be a good weekend to do it, and it could be a major advantage for the Eagles. Here's McCoy meeting with reporters on Wednesday.
They're struggling against the run a lot. How different is this team? Is it personnel? What is it that you see on tape with them?
They look good as a defense. I think they run well to the ball. It's just a matter of just getting on the line and the wrong angles. Missed tackles and things like that starts to add up. You watch them tape, a lot of guys are gassing them. You know, so I think running the ball will definitely be big for this game.
Going into a game, what's the ideal amount of touches you want to get?
Especially in this offense, it's different because I can touch the ball in every way.
Exactly.
Receiving. So I don't really have a number. It's not really my call. You know, I know that I'm going to get the ball. I know that for sure, majority of the time. And, you know, a game, situation, different scenarios, I might not touch the ball as much. That's what we got to do.
You talked after the Detroit game that you get stronger the more you get the ball later in the game. So how does that happen? I mean, what
just...
Is
I think,
a rhythm thing? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a rhythm thing. Just touching the ball so much. You know, you might run a play 2 or 3 or 4 times. Think it's a rhythm, how they play it. You know, the first time, they might get you, stop you. Then you run it the second and third time, you kind of feel the weakness, where I can go to the right side, the weakness on the left side. It's the small things, and you keep pounding it. Maybe a guy one-on-one, you know, he might tackle me. But in the back of my mind, I think, okay, well, the next time. I know he can't tackle me. So it just matters, just pushing along and keep going. And also just, you know, kind of imposing your will on them. You know, for the first quarter, second quarter, all into the fourth quarter, it's like once you got that rhythm and you're confident, you know my guys up front are making room and holes, it's easier to run.
So if the Cowboys win, would you be surprised if you had a reduced role? Because it would all come down to that the regular season finale. You know what I mean?
We got to worry about this game. Last week, if we had won and they lost, we had a different situation. So the only thing we can worry about is the team just went. And this week, we worry about the Bears. This is a big game for us. It's very big. Cowboys, they'll do what they got to do. But for us in Philadelphia, we got to win this game. It's a big game for us. You know, I feel like this game I got to put the offense on my back. You know, I want to roll. I want to get going. I think me and the guys up front, we're going to set the tone. I think once we do that, we can worry about the other teams. But right now, I just feel like, you know, the big guys are up front of myself. We need to put this game on our back.
So on the Brian, this week, Brian Westbrook was saying that in the past with Andy, when he seemed to get away from the run, he would kind of, hey, coach, don't forget about me, that kind of make comments. I mean, this is your first year with Chip. Do you kind of feel comfortable in making comments during a game in that situation?
The good thing about Chip that I actually love is he's so competitive where if I say something to him, you know, he won't take it a negative way. He's always positive, and he understands. You know, I want the ball, or whatever player it is. So he doesn't take it the wrong way. But, you know, he's an offensive genius. I don't have to tell him I need the ball or I want the ball. You know, he knows what plays you need to run, the right time, the call to plays. I don't know that stuff. You know, if you ask me, yes, I want the ball every play. You know, he asks any player. So he knows exactly when to run it, when to throw it, you know, when to get his playmaker the ball.
Given that you'd had so many carries this year, and it hadn't been, you know, the offense had been very run-oriented. Were you surprised at how it unfolded Sunday?
Well yeah. In the midst of the game, you really don't keep track of how many times around the ball. You know, you just know it's a lot fewer than usual. But I was I was surprised for sure. Just being more involved, you know. I felt like the way the defense came out was kind of to stop the run, you know. So, seeing that and then not really doing it, you can feel it. But like then again, it doesn't matter. You know, we run it, we throw it. As long as we win, it don't matter. We got enough playmakers where for us to win the game, I don't need to touch the ball 30, 20 sometimes a game. We got enough playmakers we can make things happen. I mean, we had a lot of offensive yards. I mean, Nick threw for almost 500 yards.
Yeah, 417.
Yeah. So I mean, just knowing that we don't have to feed me the ball a million times for us to win the game. You know, my supporting cast around me is good enough.
You mentioned they came out and tried to stop the run, but hasn't that been, that seems like it's been the case pretty much every week. So what was different about what they did that made Chip go in kind of a different direction with the run game?
That's what I was getting at. I wasn't sure.
Okay.
You know, because every team comes here to stop the run. You know, so that was the same because it didn't really matter to me if you threw it or ran it because the way the defense, they came out and they stopped the run. So, like I said, it didn't matter. I mean, we didn't run it for whatever reason. That's not my call, but I don't think that was the reason, you know, because everybody tries to come in and stop the run.
And so that sentiment that you had about wanting to put the team on your back this week, why this week in particular?
It's a big game. It's a big game. I feel like the matchup is there. I feel like our offensive linemen against the defensive fronts in the one-on-one matchups with our backs and, you know, and their guys, the linebackers and safeties. I feel like we won that matchup. And it's just determination. Like, we put ourselves in the hole by losing last week, where this week we come out and we have to win. You know, every game is a must win. You know, so just that's my attitude and my approach. It has nothing to do with last week or, you know, it just has to do with my attitude. You know, I feel like the guys we got up front, this whole year, excellent. You know, it's no surprise the type of year matter. I think guys are busting their butt each week, you know, making holes and opportunities for me to make guys miss. So I feel like it's a challenge for me and the guys up front to get it done.
Do you think you can still break Wilbert Montgomery's record?
I mean, I don't know, man. If it happens, it happens. I'm sure one of these years I'll break it. Is this year? I'll get it.
It's 185. I think you're...
That's a guarantee right there.
you guys put up 30 points. You know, Nick had 420-some-odd yards passing and everything. So it would seem like you guys had a good offensive game, but it doesn't seem like you feel that way, right, from last Sunday?
Well, I mean, we didn't win. We didn't win, and the things that we do best, we didn't do, as far as converting, you know, scoring the red zone, things like that. It's always the small things that happen when you lose. You know, and last week, you know, that kind of happened. So I think overall the offense, we didn't play how we usually play. We didn't execute how we execute. We didn't do the small things right, you know. So that was kind of the difference.
A few weeks ago, you played in the snow. This week, you might play in the rain.
Yeah, what's it might be 300. I don't know. The weather doesn't matter. I mean, we'll play anywhere. You know, it's this type of game. It is. It's a big game. So, cold game, snow, rain. You know, we need this game. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Is a reception normal? Is a reception the same for you as a rush? Like when you consider your touches, does it matter if it's catching the ball or if it's running the ball?
Oh no, I don't. That doesn't matter to me. Okay. Same with defense. You know, I feel like I'm as deadly as running as passing. And actually, sometimes in the passing game, it's a lot easier because you're away from the big guys. You know, so like a wide receiver, and that's the easy job, just running against cornerbacks and secondary. More room.
We'll see how it plays out on Sunday night, which is the first of a two-game stretch with much at stake for the Eagles. A team without many expectations entering the season is now a potential playoff contender, and certainly within reach is the NFC East crown. A big turnaround from 1 year ago and a potential sign of things to come under Chip Kelly. We will have that all covered in the Philadelphia Inquirer, on Inquirer.com, on Philly.com, and of course, on the Bird's Eye View podcast. This was the Week 16 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. We'll be back next week discussing the Eagles-Bears game, looking ahead to the Eagles-Cowboys game, and going through all the playoff scenarios. For the Inquirer, I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.